Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of March 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Ed Kieser will be here as we close out our program to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Director of Ag Programming for Illinois Public Media, Dave Dickey, will be along with all the agricultural news for the day. And we'll have a commentary from the Illinois Farm Bureau and Amy Rochkis right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May soft red winter wheat down 6 3/4 at 489 1/4. July at 501 3/4, 7 cents lower. September at 517 1/4, down 7 1/2. May corn futures up 2 cents today, 376 the settlement price. July at 387, 1 3/4 higher. September 396 1/4, up 1 1/2. December at 405 1/4 in the corn pit, up 1 1/4 for the new crop. And March at 416 1/4, up 1 1/4. Soybean futures, $9.59 1/2, the settlement price, almost a $10 bill. Well, not quite really, but up a half cent nonetheless, $9.59 1/2. The settlement price for the May beans, July at $9.67 1/2, up 3/4. August, $9.63 3/4, down 1/4. September at $9.48 3/4, down 1 penny. And November beans at $9.40, down 0.5 cent. Bean meal futures, $2.69.90, up $2.50. July, $2.68.50, up $2.10. May bean oil, $39.25, down 58 on the afternoon. July bean oil at $39.68, down 58. April live cattle, $1.37 1/2 higher at $97.52 1/2. The June at $95.17 1/2, up $1.20. March feeder cattle at $104.62 1/2, $1.35 higher. And the April futures at $1.07.87 1/2. At $107.87 1/2, up $1.60. April lean hog futures today at $72.87 1/2, up $1.27 1/2. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, April contract, $82.20, the settlement price down 73 cents a barrel. April ethanol at $1.57 8/10, down 1 2/10. Natural gas at $4.09 2/10, down 2 1/10. The RBOB, a penny, about 0.8 cents lower at 2.30, that is, and 1/10. And the heating oil, or diesel fuel, at 2.11 7/10, 2 2/10 higher for the day. Gold futures at $1,127.40 an ounce, up $3.40 on their settlement price. And the Dow at 10,757, just about 24 points higher. The U.S. dollar today, 80.22, and that's down 0.58. CRB index at 275.68, down 0.62. And the Goldman Sachs at 529.18, down 3.02 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like, as prepared by our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tonight should be clear to partly cloudy in Illinois and Indiana. Lows will generally range between 36 and 44. And then for tomorrow, in northwestern Illinois, increasing cloudiness and turning colder, a chance of showers later in the day. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs will range between 64 and 68 tomorrow, except only in the 50s in the far northwestern part of Illinois. The extended forecast says that's a foretelling of something to come. A cold front will push through Illinois and Indiana on Saturday. Widespread showers likely in its wake. Another system quickly to follow and moving up the Ohio Valley on Sunday into Sunday night. That'll cause more periods of rain, and cool weather. A few showers may linger in southern and eastern sections of Indiana on Monday, but dry weather will be pushing into Illinois and northwestern Indiana. After cool weather rolls through over the weekend into Monday, temperatures should rebound to the middle part of the levels on Tuesday.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Tom Testel and Morris at 815-941-2184. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, is with us today to take a look at the agricultural markets. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
It's been a beautiful day today, the last couple of days. About your drive back and forth has been nice, like mine.
Yes, it has. I wish it would stay that way here for the next 30 days or so.
It would be good, and I'll bet farmers would like that. At least the soils would dry out, and with the heat we've had, that heat them up, too. They could get in and do some work, maybe take care of those heavy stocks, but that's not the case. At least it doesn't look like it's going to be the case over the weekend. Yet, as you look in Chicago earlier this week, a little strength. Why did it happen?
Well, I think a couple things. The dollar did kind of break to the downside earlier this week. Now, today, we've kind of reversed that weakness. The market did find support at the 50-day moving average and bounced back sharply. So the dollar still kind of stays in this 79.50 to 81.75 type range. We just visited the bottom end of the range this week, and now we've bounced off of it. So I think the dollar is still in a broad-based sideways trading range, waiting for a picture or some kind of event one way or the other, whether or not we're going to break to the upside of this sideways action that we've had for several weeks, or we're going to break to the downside. But so the dollar's been kind of impacting the day-to-day activity on corn and soybeans. Probably, I think it's beginning to really take hold is even though it's only middle March, we are looking ahead now with the weather maps and computer model runs that kind of crank out a couple weeks or so. And the market doesn't see anything really out there that suggests that we're going to be doing any field work anytime soon, especially here in the Midwest growing region. And I think that makes the market a little nervous on the corn front. Also, I think when you take a look at the soybean rebound, it was kind of the same there as I think the trade got ahead of itself on expecting large South American supplies to just rapidly move into the export channels. That hasn't happened. They've got truck delays. They've got a few weather problems. The other thing is some farmers are generally tight holders of those beans. So I think you cut the market leaning a little too heavy on the short side, and a lot of your technical indicators did indicate that. They were down at the bottom end of the range of being the oversold area. So those things all kind of came in together, and we've had a nice little rally this week.
You know, I wonder, why is it that the market would get caught leaning on the South American crop too early on the oversold side? I mean, I understand that it's a very big crop. We've known that for a long time, but the idea that they wouldn't have logistical problems isn't unusual. They always take a long time getting out of the field because they have to truck it so very far.
Correct. And this is always, I mean, how many years have we heard of dock strikes, farmer strikes? I mean, the situation in Argentina on the export tax, that has not been resolved, and there was rumors earlier in this week that may take place. I don't know how many years I've been watching the Brazilian harvest that all of a sudden the dock workers decide to strike, you know, at a time when they know that their services are needed more. So it's not unusual, but this is the way the market acts. I mean, the market always goes to one extreme or the other, and that's, you know, kind of what happens.
And so bottom line, does it offer up opportunities for producers at this point?
From a technical point of view, if you want to be bullish, the market has did what you wanted it to do. Okay. It held above the early February low, and we've had a nice rally from the lows that we had here late last week or early this week, depending upon which chart you want to look at. So with that, by holding above the early February low, you can start drawing some trend lines that have an upward bias. And in both corn and soybeans case, I take a parallel line of this uptrend line that we have along the bottom, and then plot that at the top end of the highest prices we had over the past couple weeks, and that was like 292 on May corn. So it kind of puts a move up toward that 392 level, that high that we had here a couple weeks ago. That's a possibility. We've kind of come back about halfway of what we've lost here since making that high. So the market wouldn't surprise me if we consolidate a little bit here somewhere, either starting tomorrow or maybe early next week, and take a breather from the bounce, and then we'll see whether or not what the weatherman offers and whether or not we want to go on up and check out those highs that we had here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so if we do that, what bodes after that then? And can you talk about the downside potential too?
Well, I think longer term, you still have to, it's at this point, it's all about the weatherman. But if you would assume normal weather, and it's kind of hard to assume normal weather when you look out your back door and you see saturated soils at this point in the next 2 weeks, basically kind of in the cool side with a little moisture in it. We're not going to dry anything out anytime soon. But if the weather would break and it would allow farmers to get into the field generally timely, this market is probably vulnerable to going down very quickly down into that 320 type range. We've had a low so far on May corn here at 359, so I'm sure you can punch that out and go down into the 320 area fairly quickly. I suppose you could probably take a look at Dease corn going down to the, 370 fairly quickly, depending upon how things go.
You just shook the confidence of many a farmer. And again, I'll ask, is there opportunity in the current uptick in the marketplace for either old or new crop sales?
Well, I think so, but it's going to be a day-by-day situation. Corn kind of follows a 20-week cycle, and I think you have to view the early February low as one of those lows, and it kind of unfolds a couple different ways. It unfolds with maybe three sixes or a couple tens or a combination of, and it looks like the first phase of this 20-week cycle was 6 weeks in length. So that kind of tees up the market for maybe 2 to 3 weeks of price strength. So it does kind of suggest that maybe this market might want to rally into that March 31st report, early April, to see what kind of weather pattern we have. And I think, if it does, the targets are definitely going to be to punch out the highs that we had here a couple weeks ago, which is 392 on the May corn and 415 on the Dease corn. So I do think there's opportunities yet to sell May corn above 392 and to sell December corn above 415.
All right, talk about the soybean side of the marketplace.
Soybeans, very similar type pattern. We did hold above the previous or that February low, and now we're in a sideways to higher trend there. And it's poised then to take out this 948 level on the November, probably could maybe move up to that 100-day moving average. It was up around this 970 area. So I think something in the 955 to 970 is a possibility on November beans. I take a look at May soybeans. The previous high that we had here was like 985. We could maybe go back and kind of check that level out, maybe pop above 985 by a nickel or a dime. So those are some targets, anyway, that I would be looking at over the next couple of weeks. And the bean market, it has more of a 17, 18-week cycle, and it also can unfold in with three sixes or a couple eight to nines. And I think that's the same phasing as corn is, as in soybeans.
All right. So generally, we think about an 18-month or a two-year cycle for producers to market either a corn or a soybean crop. So, but let's just go from now until the end of the year. Do you think it's more likely that we will see highs earlier in the year or later in the year for both corn and soybeans, given a normal growing season without difficulty?
Well, my application of the cycles suggests that the best pricing opportunities will be here, in this March, April, and then probably maybe in the October, November, December. So I do think we could kind of sink into a doldrums-type market sometime in June, July. That'll depend a lot on how the crop is planted. But if everything breaks and the crop gets planted and we've got a lot of old crop corn inventory yet to kind of move into the pipeline, I think that opens the door anyway for some downside price vulnerabilities, you know, in that June-July time frame. Once that's out of the way, then I think the market could kind of maybe recover as we go into the fall. So my strategies on markets would be to take a look at early spring price strength, try to protect myself from downside weakness into the summer months. If it happens, I'm covered. If it doesn't, well, I still got opportunities to do some selling during the June, July. But I guess I'm an old-timer in a way, going back years ago, that you always have election year rallies. We might be setting ourselves up for something like that this year. If we would have a summer low, then we would, the politicians can make some moves in Washington to maybe fluff up the ag markets.
Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with the agricultural news for the day.
We would like to thank these sponsors who helped support the recent WILL 20th Annual All-Day Ag Outlook Meeting and all of our agricultural programs on air and online: Strategic Farm Marketing, Stuart Peterson, ADM, Risk Management Commodities, and Pioneer Seeds. Thank you. Agricultural news. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Blanche Lincoln yesterday unveiled a bill to reauthorize the child nutrition programs that would increase funding for school lunch and other programs by $4.5 billion over 10 years. Lincoln says the bill would pay for the increased funding for the meals program through a $2.2 billion shift in the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, a $1 billion reduction in USDA purchases of commodities for school meal programs, and a $1.2 billion reduction in the Food Stamp Nutrition Education Program. The U.S. Agriculture Department's top trade official is in China today to finalize an agreement that would allow U.S. pork exports to resume. China, the second largest market for U.S. pork exports by volume in 2008, halted imports of U.S. pork last April because of fears about the H1N1 flu outbreak. USDA has been working with Chinese officials in recent weeks to finalize technical details to certify exports. A coalition of industry and environmental groups are calling on the Environmental Protection Agency to hold off on approving any mid-level ethanol blends of gasoline until the agency first allows public comment. In a letter to EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson, the coalition called on the agency to base its decision on, quote, a complete and sound scientific record and in accordance with the procedures of the Clean Air Act. The main concern voiced by the coalition, which includes organizations representing manufacturers and users of smaller gasoline engines as well as a number of agricultural groups, is the possible effect of higher levels of ethanol in gasoline on air quality, the corrosive effect it could have on engines, and the possible effects that using corn to produce ethanol could have on the food supply. The Labor Department today says that consumer prices were flat last month. The Labor Department's report today indicates that there is little sign of inflation. A rise in food prices last month was offset by a drop in gasoline and other energy costs. Excluding volatile food and energy prices, the Labor Department says the core consumer price index rose by 0.1% in February. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm Todd Gleason, urging you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming. Now, up next in today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkus says rural Illinoisans need to stand up for the census.
Farm Bureau is encouraging its rural citizens to complete the 2010 census as quickly and accurately as possible. Farming and rural populations are shrinking, but are no less vital to the nation's economy and security. That is why it is so important that rural communities complete the census to ensure their fair share of political power, local funding, and needed services. Illinois' rural populations need to be counted during the 2010 census. Census data determines how many seats each state will have in the U.S. House of Representatives, as well as the boundaries of legislative districts. It is crucial to ensuring that rural citizens are represented. Every year, the federal government can allocate more than $400 billion to states and communities based in part on census data. Census data influences how trillions of dollars will be spent on hospitals, job training centers, schools, social services, grants, and other programs essential to rural communities. The 2010 census is easy and confidential. It takes only about 10 minutes to answer just 10 questions. It is one of the shortest questionnaires in history. By law, the Census Bureau cannot share respondents' answers with anyone, including other federal agencies and law enforcement entities. All Census Bureau employees take an oath of non-disclosure and are sworn for life to protect the confidentiality of the data. The penalty for unlawful disclosure is a fine of up to $250,000 or imprisonment of up to 5 years or both. The 2010 census will arrive in mailboxes in March. Official census day is April 1st. It is a quick, easy, and confidential way to keep Illinois agriculture strong. For more information, please visit www.2010.census.gov. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call. The number is 217-333-0850. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Ed Kieser about the weather forecast.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. A ruling from Illinois Supreme Court means Provena Covenant Medical Center will have to pay property taxes dating back to 2002. Justices this morning determined that the Urbana Hospital didn't provide enough charity care to qualify for tax-exempt status. Champaign County Treasurer Dan Welsh estimates those taxes could amount to $8.8 million if Provena were required to pay interest in all those years. The initial argument against the exemption was made by the Champaign County Board of Review. Chair Laura Sandifer says it's hard to define what qualifies as charity care, but she says less than 1% of it didn't qualify for exclusive use of charitable services. Provena Covenant CEO David Bertowski says he hopes this troubling ruling prompts a dialogue among hospitals and elected officials about defining charity care. A federal official says the Obama administration wants to buy a nearly vacant prison in northwestern Illinois, even if Guantanamo Bay detainees aren't transferred there. The Department of Justice officials spelled out the administration's plan in a letter released today by Republican Congressman Don Manzullo's office. The government wants to buy the Thompson Correctional Center to help relieve federal prison overcrowding and use it as a home for some detainees. Obama has promised to close the U.S. detention facility in Cuba. A spokesman says the congressman supports using the prison to house federal inmates, but not detainees. A Chicago man has pleaded guilty to scouting out the Indian city of Mumbai before a terrorist attack that left 166 dead and planning to attack a Danish newspaper whose cartoons offended many Muslims. David Coleman Headley could have been sentenced to death if convicted of the attacks in Mumbai, including the deaths of six Americans. But the 49-year-old's plea agreement with federal prosecutors today ruled out the death penalty, provided he cooperates with the government's terrorism investigations. A new report released by Northern Illinois University suggests the deadly 2008 shootings in a lecture hall may have been partially motivated by the gunman's anger at the School for Academic Changes. Former NIU student Stephen Kazmierczyk opened fire in geology class on February 14, 2008, killing five students before fatally shooting himself. The 300-page report says Kazmierczyk, who was a U of I graduate student at the time of the shootings, was bright, praised by his professors for his studies in criminology, but it says he may have been angered, but he felt what was a de-emphasis of that field. I'm Jeff Bossert.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do visit our website. The address is WILLAG.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming. You can listen to it online, listen to us on the radio, or dial this number, 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media on a Thursday afternoon. We're usually joined by Pete Leavitt. He's away from the office today, but our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, is here. Good afternoon to you, Ed.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, thanks for taking the time with us today. We have a really nice weather set that's been with us the last, I don't know, two or three days. Can we continue that through parts of March or not?
Well, through a part of March, as in tomorrow, but then we do have some cooler weather coming in along with some rain over the weekend as a cold front will be passing through the middle of the Midwest on Saturday, and it now appears that a low-pressure system will then follow on Sunday, and that will be tracking up the Ohio Valley and bringing rain mainly to the southern and eastern portions of the Midwest over the weekend and in some eastern areas into early next week. So after several days of drying, there will be some rain coming through over the weekend.
Yeah, once that comes through, what does part of next week look like? Start with the early part and then move right on through the end of next week. Farmers will be starting to get the itch by the time we get to the end of next week and headed towards April, still a bit away, but I know they'll want to get into the field.
Well, I think that we're going to be in that kind of stubborn spring pattern where we have ups and downs on temperatures, some mild days such as we've just been experiencing, intermixed with some cool days still, and with that, every few days a weather system will come through with at least the chance of showers. With some of the systems, there won't be much rain. There could once in a while be one that produces a bit more and really bogs things down for a few days. We don't see a turn to an excessively wet weather pattern, but I don't see it staying dry days on end either. And after a cool start to next week, we'll quickly warm up again. I think we'll have a few days above average in the temperature department next week. So a little more spring weather coming up.
And finally, have you been watching much around the world? And can you give us an idea of how South America might be faring as it moves through its harvesting season?
Well, the bottom line is in both Brazil and Argentina, conditions are rather favorable for crop maturation and harvesting. There's some showers occurring from time to time, especially in eastern Argentina, and some are moving into far southern Brazil, but that will only cause a few days' delay, nothing serious. Overall, things are looking good for their harvest, and in Brazil, soybean harvest is a bit ahead of schedule.
Ed, thanks so much. Ed Kieser is chief meteorologist at Illinois Public Media. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon. You have a great day. The Closing Mark Report, by the way, is a production of Illinois Public Media, and you can find us online at willag.org.